Lenskart profit drop, Ola losses narrow.
Sundar Pichai wants AI agents everywhere.
Parliamentary Standing Committee on Finance meets with top crypto exchanges.
You are listening to Money Control's Tech 3 podcast.
Hello listeners, welcome to Money Control's Tech 3 podcast, your go-to show for the sharpest startup and tech updates. You can catch us on the Money Control website, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, let's start with a not so happy story considering it is appraisal season. And we're talking about salary hikes because for many IT employees, this appraisal season, the increment letter and the actual salary credit are telling two different stories, Bhavya.
That's right, Chandra. Employees across IT firms that Money Control spoke to are discovering that hikes are not necessarily translating into higher take-home pay anymore. And a lot of this is tied to changes being made under the new labor code framework.
Now, this issue first gained attention after TCS employees flagged revised compensation structures, including changes in allowances, variable pay cycles, and gratuity calculations.
Yes, some employees said their in-hand salaries barely moved despite appraisals, while others claimed monthly payouts actually fell after restructuring.
Now, HR experts say this is becoming an industry-wide shift. So here's what's happening. Under the labor code framework, companies now need wages to account for at least 50% of the total compensation, which means firms are increasing the basic salary component. But that also raises PF contributions and gratuity-linked deductions, reducing monthly cash in hand.
Yes, at the same time, companies are also redesigning pay structures more aggressively because salary hikes themselves remain muted across the sector. Now, according to TeamLease Digital, nearly 28% of firms are moving towards quarterly variable payouts, while almost half are shifting towards skill-based pay models.
Variable pay is also becoming a larger part of compensation. It now forms over 16% of fixed pay on average. So for employees, the bigger story is no longer just the size of the hike. It's how compensation itself is being redesigned in a slower growth IT environment. Well, moving on to earnings now, where the road to profitability for new age companies continues to look uneven.
Yes, so both Lenskart and Ola Electric reported quarterly numbers today, and the contrast between growth and profitability stood out for both of them. Let's start with Lenskart first. The eyewear company remained profitable, but its PAT or profit after tax declined about 7% year-on-year to around 203 crore rupees in the March quarter. Revenue, however, grew sharply, up 45% to 2,500 odd crores.
Now, the company said the profit decline was largely due to a higher base last year because of acquisitions completed during that period. Also, there were some operational highlights. Lenskart nearly doubled net store additions from 282 in FY25 to 542 in FY26.
Yes, and despite concerns around slowing consumer demand more broadly, the company said it's not seen any slowdown in eyewear demand from their end. So it also said the recent West Asia conflict had limited impact, with demand recovering quickly in Middle East markets, which account for roughly 8% of its store network.
Now compare that with Ola Electric, where losses narrowed, but growth slowed sharply. Ola Electric reported a net loss of 500 crore for Q4 FY26, improving from 870 crore a year ago.
Yes, revenue dropped nearly 57% for Ola year-on-year to about 265 crore rupees in the March quarter. Now, to decode these numbers, the profitability trajectory improved due to internal cost restructuring that included several rounds of layoffs as well. But it came alongside a significant slowdown in top-line growth, of course, due to slower volumes in the market.
Moving on to the big event last night in the US, we're talking about Alphabet or Google's annual developer conference, Google I/O 2026, where Sundar Pichai made one thing very clear: Google wants AI agents across all its products.
Yes, and this is not just for developers anymore. Google is now pushing AI agents directly into consumer products used by billions of people.
So during the nearly two-hour keynote, Google executives showcased various agentic experiences across their products powered by its new Gemini 3.5 model, including a major AI overhaul of Google Search.
Yes, so here's a quick sum up of what's new that's launched. There's Gemini Spark, a personal AI agent that can manage Gmail, Docs, and third-party apps, plus Gemini Omni, which can generate videos using text, images, and audio prompts.
Google also introduced AI tools for building Android apps through natural language prompts, updated its coding platform, Anti-Gravity, and launched AI-powered audio glasses with partners like Warby Parker.
Yes, other important launches included Docs Live for voice-based document editing, Ask YouTube for conversational video search, and Gemini for science aimed at research workflows.
So the larger message from Google I/O was pretty clear. AI is no longer just a feature inside products. It is becoming the layer powering the products themselves. Finally, let's talk crypto regulation, where India's Parliamentary Standing Committee on Finance has once again called some of the biggest crypto players to the table.
Yes, the committee met exchanges including Binance, WazirX, and Zepay in Delhi today to discuss the future of crypto regulations, taxation, and the broader virtual digital asset ecosystem.
The meeting also included government officials from the Revenue Department, Corporate Affairs Ministry, and Income Tax Department, along with representatives from overseas crypto firms. Remember, this comes just months after the Financial Intelligence Unit, or the FIUIND, tightened operational guidelines for crypto companies in India.
Yes, so what was discussed? According to officials, the discussion focused on taxation, peer-to-peer transactions, remittance, and bringing Indian and global exchanges under a common policy framework. Now, the committee had earlier met CoinDCX, CoinSwitch, and Coinbase in December last year, after which the FIUIND released updated compliance guidelines for the sector.
Industry players have also been pushing for lower taxes. Right now, crypto income is taxed at 30% with a 1% TDS on transactions. Officials also raised concerns around fraudulent international transactions and fake entities impersonating registered crypto exchanges.
So India is still studying different global approaches to crypto regulations, but discussions around tighter oversight and taxation are clearly accelerating. All right, that's a wrap for today's episode of Tech 3 from Money Control. A big shout out to our reporters from the Tech and Startup team for the stories we covered today.
Thank you for listening. We air every Monday to Friday between 7:30 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. So tune in for more news minus the boring bits. This is Chandra and Bhavya signing off.
You are listening to Money Control's Tech 3 podcast.